The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
There are two great songs in the Torah. One is the first of the Song of the Sea after the splitting of the Red Sea, which is in Parashat Bishalach. It's Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people sing the song of praise and thanksgiving to God for all the miracles of the Exodus. And then now at the end of the Torah, just before Moshe Rabbeinu is about to part and leave us on the physical plane and give over the leadership of the Jewish people to his disciple Yeshua, who will now take us into the land of Israel. So he concludes all of his life's work and his mission of devoting himself to the Jewish people, to take us out of Egypt and to give us the Torah and to instruct us in the way of life. So the end is this great, great poem, the song, which is the Song of Ha'azino. Listen, O heavens. And in this song, Moses relates the whole history of the Jewish people, what was and what is and what shall be. One of the most important commentaries on the Torah is the Ramban Nachmanides. He says that every single Jew in all generations can find his whole life history, his whole biography, in this one portion of the Torah, which is the Song of Ha'azino. The whole Torah is, every letter is divine, every letter is holy and has infinite meaning to it. But on a revealed level, these songs, these two great songs of the Torah, have the greatest imagery. And as all of our meditations were basing ourselves upon images that we can visualize, the greatest imagery is indeed the metaphors and the similes that appear in the poems of the Torah, which are Shirat HaYam and now Shirat HaZino. And that's why actually there's the most commentary. If you look, for instance, Rashi, the most basic and important of the commentaries, it's much, much greater when he has to explain the meanings of the symbols that are used in the poems of the Torah. So that's just in order to try to enter the space, the feeling that now we have a portion of the Torah which is not a prose, it's poetic, and it's something by itself. Even the first of the great songs, which is the Song of the Sea, it's a part of Parashat Bishalach. It's not the whole Parashat, but here the Song of Ha'azino is actually the whole Parashat. There are, at the very, very end, some concluding verses which are imposed, but the bulk, the great bulk of the whole parasha is this great song with which Moshe Rabbeinu is concluding his mission on earth to give us the Torah and to redeem us. Just as he is called the first redeemer, he is also the final redeemer. So we have many, many images and symbols, but one of the most outstanding, if not the most outstanding symbol and image of the Song of Ha'azino is the image of God being compared to an eagle, and that we are compared to the younglings, the babes of the eagle in the nest, and the image is how God relates to us as an eagle hovering over his nest. And that's verse 11 in the Song of Ha'azino, which reads, "Kinesher Yair Kino," as an eagle that comes to awaken his nest. Al Gozelav Yirachef, he he hovers over the younglings of the nest. Yifros knafav yikacheu, he spreads out his wings and he takes him, he takes the babe. Yisaeu alevrato, he lifts him up, raises him up, and actually flies with him through the sky on his wing. Now, as we'll see, there are two different words, two different synonyms, which are used in this verse for the wing of the eagle. One is the word kanaf, that's the most general word for a wing. As it says, Yifros kanafav yikachei, he spreads out his wings and he takes him. And then, at the next phrase is Yisaeu, he lifts him up in order to fly with him, al evrato, on his wing. And here there's another word that's used for the wing, which is the word evra, exactly the root of the same word, which means in later Hebrew any one of the limbs of the body. An evra, it's actually the first three letters of the name of the first of our patriarchs, Avraham Avinu, which begins Aver, which is explained in Kabbalah to read Aver Ma, that is called the limb of nothingness. Avraham. In rabbinic literature, very often just the limb itself is a reference to the procreative limb of the body. But in biblical Hebrew, limb is a synonym for wing. So here we have these two synonyms that are used for wings. First, the wings that are picking up the younglings, and then the wings that are carrying them in the sky. So maybe we'll just begin from an observation about these two synonyms for wing, which is kanaf and evra. The word kanaf equals 150. And Evra equals 208. Together it equals 358, which is the value of Mashiach. And there's some messianic allusion here in our great, tremendous eagle. The eagle is, even in the creation, in our physical creation, the eagle is called the king of the birds, of all the birds that God has created in the world. So each part of creation has its king to it. The eagle is the king of the birds, just like the lion is the king of the animals. So the wing here has these two synonyms for his wings, the eagle, and they together equal Mashiach. So the eagle here with his wings and carrying us on his wings is a messianic image. Obviously this image itself is directly connected to the very same image which appears in Parashat Yitro before the giving of the Torah, that Hashem says that I have taken you out of Egypt on the wings of eagles. Because every redemption is referred to as taking us on the wings of eagles. So that even makes it more clear why this is a messianic implication, the wings of the eagles. But now we'll begin with the beginning of the verse. At the beginning of the verse is that the eagle is awakening his nest. In the very first stage, before the eagle can obviously take the younglings on his wings and then lift them up and raise them up and fly with them in the sky, is first he has to awaken them. So once more, the eagle here is an image of God, and the nest is, and the young babes in the nest are an image of the Jewish people. And first God has to hover over us in order to properly awaken us. Now, since the eagle is such a massive bird, such a great bird, so on the one hand he is very, very powerful and heavy. On the other hand, he has his power gives, the very fact that he's so big and powerful gives him a sense and a necessity to express himself in reference to his babes as the most gentle of creatures. Now this is the most important part of this image of the eagle that we're now meditating upon, the eagle and the nest, and the gozalim, which are the babes here in the nest. that however great he is, he's able to manifest perfect balance and stability and gentleness, and that he hovers gently over his nest in order not to descend with all of his force and all of his weight, and thereby he would break the nest and destroy his progeny in the nest, his gozalim. But he's able to yirachef. That's the word that is used. Now this word yirachef is also a very, very rare verb in the Torah, to hover. And the first time that it appears is actually in the very second verse of the whole Torah, the story of creation. It says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters just before God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And there our sages say that the Spirit of God that's hovering over the waters is actually the Spirit of Mashiach. So again, we have a very explicit connection between the hovering, since this is the other context in the whole Torah that this verb appears, to hover, the hovering of the ego over the nest, and the hovering of the Spirit of God over the waters, which there it refers to Mashiach. Here, even though the simple meaning is that it's actually referring to God, which is more than Mashiach, God hovering over the people in order to awaken them, but that is implemented or becomes manifest also in the Messianic Spirit hovering over the waters. One of the explanations of the waters, we don't yet have an image at that time, at the very, very outset of the creation, so you can't speak of a nest or souls or people because it doesn't yet exist, so it was only the waters existed. But one of the readings of the sages is that those waters, those primordial waters that the Spirit of God is hovering over, are the waters of tshuva, it's called. It's the waters of the power of the soul to return to God. To return to God is to awaken itself to God, just as in this image of awakening, that the nesher is awakening his nest. So there is the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. Once more, the waters are understood by the sages to be also the awakening of the consciousness of the soul to return to God. So the two verses and the two images are totally complemented and are identified with one another. Once more, the important thing now to try to feel in our hearts is that this great, tremendous eagle is expressing total and absolute gentleness in order to hover over his nest, with the young in the nest, in order not to break the nest, in order to properly awaken the children in the nest little by little, in accordance with their ability to receive him. And the expression that's used is a very, very important expression that Rashi uses here in his commentary to the Torah, which afterwards appears throughout Kabbalah and Hasidut. The expression here of hovering is called nogea ve'ino nogea, touching and not touching. He's able to simultaneously touch and not touch. Touching and not touching is like involvement and not involvement. The not involvement is order to allow for free choice, which is the real awakening of the soul. The soul has to awaken to desire in itself to ascend and to aspire to godliness. So the power to touch, which means to touch you, which is to inspire you, but to allow you yourself to become inspired in and of yourself, that is this actually mysterious, almost paradoxical sense. It's like an inner sense of the soul to touch and simultaneously not touch. It's called nogea ve'ino nogea. We're taught in Kabbalah that the initial letters of that idiom, nogea ve'ino nogea, touching and not touching simultaneously, the initial letters read nun, which is the full spelling of the letter nun, alluding to what's called the Shar HaNun, the 50th gate. The letter Nun is 50. And the highest level of understanding, which is a level that even Moses was unable to achieve in his lifetime. Now we're coming to the end of the life on earth of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says that even though throughout his whole life he aspired and desired to understand the secret of the 50th gate, but he was not given that comprehension. Just at the very end of his life, he was able to realize the 50th gate. So one of the secrets of that 50th gate, which is the essential sense of God in reality, that God throughout reality is touching and not touching. He's here, and he's totally here, and at the same time he's allowing for free choice, as actually we spoke about in a previous portion of Nitzavim, giving us the free choice ourselves to choose life, and awakening us. To awaken a person is actually to open up his eyes, because the difference between a person that's asleep and that's awake is first and foremost expressed in one's eyes, whether the eyes are closed or the eyes are open. So to awaken us, he says to us, see, like see blessing and see life and see good, and then finally choose life, as we explained in the previous Torah reading. And now also the eagle is awakening his nest, and he's hovering over his young. And actually Chazal continued this symbol, this image, that not only is he able to touch and not touch simultaneously, which is the gentleness of this massive, tremendous bird, the eagle, but he also intends to make a sound that when he comes close, when he flies towards his nest, he makes a sound like a song on the trees, that his wings beat against the trees and against the branches of the trees and the leaves of the trees, and thereby his very flight towards the nest creates a musical sound, which itself begins to awaken the young in the nest, even before he reaches the nest. And then when he does reach the nest, he then is able to hover over the nest with this secret of nogea, ve'ino nogea, touching and not touching simultaneously. So now we'll meditate just on the word nesher itself, the eagle. The word nesher is three letters, nun, shin, resh. The two last letters, Shin and Reish, spell the word Shar. Shar means to sing. This whole Torah portion, this is the epitome of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. As we said before, that all, in the name of the Ramban, Nachmanides, all of the history of all of the souls that ever lived and live and will ever live, it's all alluded to here in these verses of this Song of Ha'azino. We'll add another very important thing that we didn't mention before, that the Magid of Mezrich, who was the disciple and the successor to the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidut, so he would say that it's very important, not just in this week that we read Parashat Ha'azino, but throughout the whole year and one's whole life, to read and even, if possible, to learn by heart this Song of Ha'azino more than any other part of the Torah. Is once more, one's whole life is here told, the story of one's whole life in these verses. Now the whole of Ha'azino is one great song of singing to Hashem. It's all of one's life is a song. Even other objects of creation, the animals, the birds, the fish, insects, even the inanimate part, the vegetation, even inanimate, the rocks, everything is singing to Hashem. The fact that all of creation sings to Hashem is encapsulated in a small treatise of the sages, which is called Perek Shirah, the chapter of song. And the chapter of song explains and tells us what each part of creation sings to Hashem. So this is the epitome of the song of the Torah. The whole Torah is called a song, but especially this portion of Ha'azino is called the song. That's the way it was actually explicitly stated just before the portion of Ha'azino begins. It says, write this song, that the song either refers to the Torah in its totality or particularly to this song of Ha'azino. The word for song, shir, more than any other word in this whole great poem in Song of Moses, is the essential syllable of the word nesher, which is the eagle. Now, in song, there are two types of song. There's song which is poetry. Poetry is also called song. And the word for poetry in Hebrew is shira, which is the same word as the word for song. But poetry is obviously verbal. It's verbal song, and it's not necessarily musical song. It's just the words themselves are the song. But if we're talking about actually music, then music, the word for music, to distinguish it from a song which can be understood in the sense of poetry, of a poem, is nigun. So actually, we're taught that the word nesher itself, which is the eagle, is a acronym for these two levels of song, that the nun of nesher, which is also the very same nun as nogea ve'ino nogea, the ability to touch and not touch simultaneously, is also the initial letter of the word nigun, which is melody, which is a musical melody, which in a certain sense is what our sages allude to when they say that the nesher, even in its flying, intentionally creates a song, musical sound, with his own wings beating on the trees before he approaches and comes near to his nest. So the very first letter of his name, Nun, is the Nun of Nigun, of melody and music. And then the other two letters of his name, Shin and Reish, are the root of the word Shira, which is the song, which also implies the verbal, poetic, symbolic nature and sense of song. Meaning that in order to arouse the nest, the most important, this is a messianic teaching for us, that in order to arouse the souls of Israel and the souls of the whole world to the redemption, we have to possess the power of song inherent in the eagle, which is first the melody and then the words of the song, the nun of the nesher and the shar and the poetry of the nesher. And then, thereby, we're able to awaken the nest. Now, it's also very important to understand that in Hebrew, the word nest is cognate to the word tikkun. Nest is ken, but it's cognate to the word tikkun, which means rectification, and also to the word kinyan, which means possession. Now, the perfected possession is possessing the Torah, which refers to the new Torah of the Mashiach, and thereby reaching our tikkun, our rectification. So this is another very important thing, that the nest is a nest of the Jewish people. It's also even the Mashiach himself, as we've mentioned several times in our meditations, originates in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, in the nest, also just as a bird. And that nest, here the nest is the nest of the people. That bird is, or that nest implies power to rectify and the power to know and understand and possess the truth of the Torah. But it all begins with the melody and the poetry of the eagle in all of his gentleness, in all of his massiveness, and simultaneously all of his mystical, paradoxical gentleness of being able to touch and not touch. Included one other thought, that the young here, the babes, are called gozalim. That's the word. The root gezel is an acronym for gamzu l'tova. Gamzu l'tova is a very important phrase that says that every person should always try to learn to think and to say this phrase, that whatever happens to us, to me in life, is always for the good. So to be a baby eagle that's now being awakened by his father or by his mother, which is this great bird, the eagle, and is about to be taken on his messianic mission, which is being taken on the wings. That they have these dual property, the wings of the eagle, the kanaf and the evra. First he's taken and then he's lifted up and begins to fly with his parent through the heavens. So in himself, he has to begin by recognizing that whatever happens to us in life is always for the good. That's the beginning of his being awakened by the great eagle of Parashat Haazino.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.